So we're not. This nation was founded on God and the Word of God. And they want to take that away from us. But we can say the same thing. God, we're a Christian nation. Where are you at, God? We're a Christian nation. And Habakkuk, I'm telling you, gives the answer of that day, and it's going to be the same answer today in these scriptures. And he asks that question. And we're going to be in all three chapters, because they're just three little chapters long, and so I'm just going to preach three chapters. That's all I'm going to preach this morning, and then I'm going to hush. But it's going to be three chapters, and I'm going to try to go as fast as possible. There's several sermons in this. I'll try to squeeze them all out. Pray that God might help me as we go through this book. But the key to this book, and even in the last part of this, key to this book is that verse 4 in chapter 2. And it's talking about the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. When things seem like they're uncertain to us and we just cannot put all of them together and we just don't understand what's really happening in our country and happening around the world. But Father, we do know that you have penned in your word, the just shall live by faith. So it's our faith. We know that you will bring us through. You brought us through many, many times in this country. Father, you brought other nations through as a nation Israel. Father, we know that you will bring us through in these uncertain times because, Father, you are still in control. And we thank you and we praise you for all power. We just thank you, Lord, for being in control. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us despite of what we are and what we do this day. Father, if they want here the day has never accepted you, they never know that really the smile of God upon them until they receive Christ Jesus in their heart. And, Father, we pray this might be today. But, Father, help us, Lord, as we go through these great, great scriptures of what's really happening in our country for the people that forgets God and where we at today. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Where is God? Has God lost control? Is he asked this question. We know Habakkuk there in chapter 1, he says, I have a very perplexed problem. I can't understand what's everything that's happening. So he looks around and says, where are you at, God? Why are you letting this happen to us? And then chapter 2, he sees a proper perspective of God. God says, I'm in control, as he sees this in chapter 2. And then he don't explain it to him. He says, Habakkuk, I'm just going to give you a vision. I'm not going to explain it to you. And if I did, you wouldn't understand it. And then in chapter 3, you have a profound praise. After all this was said and done, and God showed him the vision, all the Habakkuk do is just praise God. I hope that's what we do at the end of this service, is just praise God, because he says, I'm not going to remove these circumstances, but he says, I'm going to give you the power to praise me. Peace, we're asking for peace today. Peace all over the world, peace, peace. Peace is not the subtraction of the problem. Man, you're going through some problems, and our country going through problems, and our world going through problems. If we could just subtract these problems from our everyday experience or from our country or from our world, we would have peace. But peace is not subtracting the circumstance that we're living in, but peace is giving us power to meet these problems that come, because God's not going to eliminate the circumstances in your life, in our country, in the world. But he will give us the power to meet these problems and these circumstances in our life. From a book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, as I said again, behold, he says, his soul which is lifted up is not upright. In that first part of the key of that verse, he's talking to those people that sinners. They're high-minded. They think, boy, they're on top of everything. But he says they're about to fall. And same thing with the problem today. The people of our country thinks they're running things. They think they have the answer in Washington, D.C. They think they have the answer. But God says in that last part of that scripture, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Who is the just? The first part of that verse of scripture is talking to those sinners. But the last part of that scripture is talking about the just. Are you justified in through Christ Jesus? If it is, he's talking about you. You're the just one. You've been saved. The upright, it says, shall live by his faith. God knows that we needed this verse of scripture so very, very much. He knew he needed it so much. You know, in the New Testament, he's put it three other places in three other books in the New Testament. He's put it in Galatians. He's put it there in Hebrews, and also there in Romans, it's quoted the same thing. The just shall live by faith. So we need this. It helps us not to fold up. It will help us, you know, not to give up. As we look up and we're able to stand up, even the time we end today. And Habakkuk, the same way, it helped him to learn about the truth and giving thanks in dark days. Can we give thanks in dark days? We certainly can at the time of Habakkuk if we see what Habakkuk saw. And he says, write this book down, and I want you to show it to the people that they might read. The first thing, faith does not live by example or explanation, but by promises. The promise of God. We don't understand what's going on. Habakkuk didn't understand what's going on. We could not understand, but you see, we live by promises of God. Now, he had some problem, Habakkuk did, in chapter 1. He could not understand these real problems that nation was having. To start with, a problem of heaven's silence. There was a problem there. He just could not get his grips on it because, you see, he was praying. He'd been praying for that country. Have you prayed for the United States? I'm telling you, churches pray for the United States. They pray for our leaders. Well, Habakkuk had been fasting. He'd been praying. Those people were still some godly people in that nation of Israel, and they was praying for the nation of Israel as we pray for America. God help our America. We need to turn back from God. God help us. Well, Habakkuk had been doing that. He'd been praying, and they'd been praying. He'd been praying. Is in the back of his day. But you know what? It seemed like even though he was praying, things were not getting better, they was getting worse. Can you see that today? We've been praying for America for a long time, for us to turn back. But seemed like all of our prayers and seemed like things are getting worse in our country instead of better. Is that correct? That's what Habakkuk said. His country was getting worse. You see, and he began to cry out now because of this heaven's silence there in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The burning which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou will not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou will not save. There's two cries there in verse 2. Now the first cry is a cry for help. It's someone's drowning. Help. You ever heard anybody? Help, help, I'm drowning. Somebody send me some help, I'm drowning. Send me a hand, help, I'm drowning. That was a cry for help. But you see, the second cry, and this is what he was crying, the second cry was a scream. It was a holler. It was a scream. Hey, hey. You know what he was doing? He was shouting at God. God, why are you letting this happen to our country? This Christian nation that we're living in. We've sent more missionaries from the United States than any other nation in the world. We've helped more countries all around the world than any other world. Habakkuk says the same thing. Why are you letting this happen, God? And he was hollering at God. Why, God, are you allowing this to happen? We're better than them. Today, we see the silence of hell. We've been praying for our nation, and we ought to continue to pray for our nation. But it seems like things are getting worse. Habakkuk said they was in his days. But then you see, the second thing that bothered him was a problem with earth's sin. The moral condition in Habakkuk days was almost as bad as it was is in our day today. Almost as bad. They had hit the bottom run. In chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, why thou hast showed me iniquity and called me to behold grievance? For spoil and violence are before me, and there are but rise up and strive and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment does never go forth. For the wicked does combast about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceeds. That word slack in his day, it means paralyzed. The law was paralyzed to do anything. Does that sound familiar to you today? I mean, does it ever sound familiar to you today? The law in our country is paralyzed. Jeremiah the weeping prophet says there in chapter 5, verse 30 and verse 31, a wonderful and terrible thing is committed in the land of the nation of Israel. The prophets prophesy faultly. The priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to hear it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? He said, this is the reason. And Jeremiah says, the same time of Habakkuk. He says, you know what? The prophets are prophesying falsely when they should be telling the truth from the word of God. Preachers today across our nation, I'm going to tell you, in a lot of our Baptist churches, they're false. And they're false teachers. They're false preachers. And I'm telling you, I'm not even have to go to the television and name a few of those. If I need to, I would. But I'm going to tell you, they're false. They're hollering the wrong thing. They're supposed to be preaching the word of God. But if you do, their congregation to get up and leave out the door. They don't want to hear about sin today. They don't want to hear about the truth of the word of God today in our country. They want God and the Bible out of our country. They're telling lies. But you see, it says, my people love to hear it. Now, it's bad enough if what happened in his day, if the people was against it, and it's bad enough what's happening in the pulpit and the false teachers across our land, if people would be against it. But you know what it says? My people, they love to hear it. If you want a big group of people, you start telling them what they want to hear. Look at Mr. Television and some more on television. Great big congregations, thousands of people. You know what's wrong? He's telling people what they want to hear, and they love to hear it. They love to hear it. Same thing in the Bacchus days. And my people love to hear it. They like to hear it. They want to rise up again, but they love to hear it. You know, United States, you know, we lost our moral senses in our country. They say homosexual is all right from the pulpits. You know, you can't help it. Jeremiah 8:12 says, were they ashamed when they did commit abomination? No, he says. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. You see, the United States today, we can't even blush. You know, the things they even put on commercials on television used to be, you know what, would cause people to blush, used to. Now it's just like pouring water out of a bucket about paying no attention. A shameful thing. Commercials, not talking about the programs, not talking about the movies, not talking about all that, just the commercials. You wouldn't dare see this a few years ago. Family time and the commercials that comes on. We can't even blush anymore. The United States, a generation is unblushable anymore. No matter what we hear, it don't bother us anymore. It says their law is slack. That means the law is paralyzed. You know what? We got more lawyers, we got more judges, we got more courtrooms, we got less judges, we got more lawyers than we ever had before. The law is paralyzed. Someone commits murder, and you some type of technicality, they'll get out of it. The law is paralyzed. Less just we ever had before. The problem, he says. Now, there's another problem, he says, that hail success upon this earth. In verses 5 and 6, it says in this same chapter, behold, ye among the heathens in regard and wonders marvelous, for I will work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, which is the Babylonians, and I could read this day, I think would be correct. If I read this, I will raise up the Muslims. I believe I could be correct. That bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of this land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. I believe that is absolutely correct. It might be some other country. I don't know. The Babylonians, he says, they don't even know you, Lord. You letting that nation come against us, and they gaining upon us, and that nation don't even know you. You're not even their God. Does that tell you something about the Muslims? They don't even believe in Jesus Christ. And they want to kill you if you do believe in Jesus Christ. This Muslim nations, these Chaldeans, these Babylonians, they don't even know you. But things going to get worse. They're coming against God's people. And they're going to conquer the land. They're going to be successful, Habakkuk says. They're going to be successful. God's people's in retreat as we're in retreat. God, why don't you speak? He didn't hear anything from God in chapter 1. God, why don't you do something about this thing? Why don't you speak? The land of Israel is going under. Don't you speak? What do you think? You know what he did speak in verse 6? He said, in Habakkuk, that I just read verse 6, I'm going to speak. But you know what I'm going to speak? You're not going to like it because things are going to get worse. Now that's the word of God, and that's not me. But I'm telling you how to praise God in time of certain times. God's speaking. God's speaking. And it wouldn't do me no good, God says, if I tell you, Habakkuk, because you're not going to understand it. We do not live by explanation, but by promises. Jesus said this in John 16 and 12. He says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And also in Isaiah 55 and 9 says, for as heaven is higher than earth, and my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God can't explain to us what's happening today for us to understand it more than I can tell an ant down there what's going on in our country and politics. I can't explain that to an ant, and God cannot explain it to us because we do not live by explanation, and he don't intend to explain it to us. One thing, he don't, because if he did, you wouldn't understand it, Habakkuk. If he explained it to us what's going on in the world, we would not understand it. We need the Word of God. And the second thing, the reason God don't explain things to us, because God's not going to limit himself to what you can't understand. He's not going to limit himself to what we can understand. That's the second thing. Romans 11 and 34 says, for whom have known the mind of the Lord, or who have been his counsel? Who have been? Who knows the mind of God? The nation of Israel? You think that you're so good? You think that you're better than the Babylonians? Yes, you're better. Same thing about the United States. We think we're good. But you see, faith does not live by explanation, but by promise. Faith does not live by appearance, but by providence of God. And we better not forget this, because we move to chapter 2 in Habakkuk. Chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2, it says, I will stand now my watch and set me upon the tower, and we'll watch to see what will say unto me. God fixed to speak, and what shall be the answer when I am reproved? He says, and the Lord answered. The Lord starts speaking to Habakkuk now, and he said, write this vision down in a book, because somebody at Pleasant Hill is going to need this, and make it plain upon the tablets or the tables, that he may run that reads it. This is for a reason. It's for us today. It's not what God has said. It's what God is saying to this nation, to every one of us. God said, I'm going to let you write this down. And he said, I'm going to stop shouting, and I want you to start listening to me, Habakkuk. Now, there's one thing that he saw, and he saw this reliability of the scriptures that we need to understand ourselves. The reliability of scriptures. Now, that's the most important thing today, that we need to rely on the Word of God, in which we're leaving the Word of God. Very, very fast. I explained to you what's going to happen. The people now today, you know what? People don't read today. They just run. He says you need to read it, and then he says you need to run, and they will not read it. Now, the problem is today, listen, ever been a time that we need the Word of God, I'm going to tell you what, in the clear Word of God, it is now in this generation. It is now in our country. And we're getting away from it as fast as we can. The generation this day have moved from the Word of God to personal experiences and emotionalisms. Personal experiences with their inner self rather than the sure Word of God. I got several examples, but I just want to mention one or two of them. And one of these is, I was watching Dr. Oz, and they had a person on there that was telling about he died and come back from death. Now there was, and he went to several people that had these same experiences, personal experiences. They died. All their books now, people are like, oh, look, have you read this book about this person dying and come back to death, all that other thing? Believe it if you want to, but I'm believing the Word of God. Now listen, this is personal experiences above and beyond the Word of God. And there's many, many, many in the Bible. A generation that tries to explain by experiences. Now, Hebrews chapter 9 and 27, very plain scriptures. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. One time. Now, these people that's died and come back, you need to tear that out of your Bible if you believe it. Because they said you die one time. Now, it says 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That means when your spirit and your soul leaves the body, where's it going to go? Float around in the air in a few minutes, come back? The Word of God says, absent from the body. What does the Word of God say? Present then with the Lord. You're not going to float around and come back and write a book, I can tell you that. Tear that out of your Bible if you believe that. But then, when Jesus was on this earth, the rich man and Lazarus. You see, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. Rich man went to hell. And in Luke chapter 16, 31, he was speaking now. And he said unto him, you need to send back somebody to my brothers. I got a bunch of them. He said, Jesus said, if they hear not Moses, the word of God, and the prophet, the word of God, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Behold, he says, Father Abraham, but if anyone went back from the dead, they would repent. He says, if they won't hear the word of God, don't think this Tommy rot about somebody coming back to life, and people are going to believe God because they come back to life and they wrote 70 books and they done got millionaire by writing books. You believe it if you want to. That is up to you. That is up to you completely. But you need to do away with some scriptures in the Bible if you believe that. Now, that's just one of them. I could give you many, many opportunities here to believe what the word of God says and let you choose for yourself. Another one is that we are living in a generation this day is by personal experiences rather than by the word of God. And it's throughout Baptist churches also. Another one is, and I'll get into some detail of this in just a moment, probably, is people say that I was born a homosexual. And I can't help being a homosexual no more than you can help being straight. Because I know my personal experience and what I believe. Well, if you believe that, I got some more scriptures you can hear out of the Bible. If you believe that, I got several more I can tell you that people is going by personal experiences rather than by the word of God. It's up for your choosing. It's not to me to tell you what you believe. Believe what you want to. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to believe the word of God. Anytime I hear it, I go right straight to the word of God and blow this stuff out of the water by the word of God. And that's what was happening in the same time of his day. The sure word of God. And he finds out, he said, you know, reliable on the scriptures. And we need to rely on the scriptures because there's coming a time. We're in that day now that you better rely on the scripture and not by somebody's personal experience. What are they telling you? To win you over to this stuff of stuff. And then he says, you know, the resources, you know, are the saints. The just shall live by faith. How are we going to make it the same way Habakkuk did? The same way Habakkuk made it that we're going to make it also. On the way, we're going to make it. Because faith looks beyond the physical into the spiritual. Faith looks beyond the present into the future. Faith looks beyond the temporary into the eternal. Faith is the onlyest thing that's going to change America. It was the onlyest thing that changed the nation of Israel in the back of time. And faith in Jesus Christ is the onlyest thing that's going to change our country. And it's not going to come from Washington. It's going to come from the Word of God. The Word of God, it says. In Romans, where he quoted this same verse of Scriptures, just shall live by faith. In Romans, Paul is looking at a nation. In chapter 1 of the book of Romans, he's looking at nations. It was on the last ladder of the way down, maybe our nation. Whoever it fits, as the God word says, whoever it fits is on the last ladder down. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, dishonoring their own bodies. He said, between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use to do that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burning in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving into themselves a recompense, that is the judgment of the error which was meant. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And it gives a list of the things they do and the things that are being done in this country this day. I'm going to tell you, it's the word of God. It's not by experience. And the homosexuals today, it's taught in schools. It's taught on our television. It's taught all across our country. They can't help it. That's their personal experience. They say, I can't help it. And though people start to grow, yeah, they can't help it. We need to feel sorry for them. Listen, they are sinners and they need to be saved. God loves them just as much as do you sitting right here this day. But he does not love the lifestyle because it's a lie from hell. But these personal experiences, no matter how put a religious twist on they might be, they are not from the Word of God. And they are going down, 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 down. God has already given the answer to the book of Romans in the verses prior to this. And this is what he said in chapter 1, 16 and 17 of Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. He had already given the answer before he started this long tread down of Romans. The most powerful force in this world today is faith in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That's the most powerful thing in this world. Faith, retribution of the saints, as we see. Chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Boy, I wish I had time to get into this. Yea, also because the transgressors by wine, he is proud man, neither keepeth a home, who enlarges his desire as hell, and is as death, cannot be satisfied, but gather unto him all nations, and heap unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him? And say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his, how long, and to him that layeth himself with thick clay. Now he gives these woes. This is not from me, this is from God. He gives these woes. Woe, 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 woe. You reckon God's speaking to us today in this country? This message is not from IB. This message is from God. Woe. And he gives all these woes because calamity is coming. It's coming our way. The mill of God turns slow, but it turns sure. And Habakkuk said, I understand this. Now, material corruption in Habakkuk's days. Material corruption. It says there in verse 6 about this, woe unto him that getteth that which is not his. Verse 9 also, same thing. Woe to him that covers an evil covetous. You see, in our country today, we have gambling all across our nation. We have lotto all across our nation. And you know whether you want to believe it or not, this is coming against us. This is one of the woes that God gets for our nation. Because gambling is getting something belongs to someone else without giving them anything back. And it's wrong whether you believe it or not. Don't make no difference to me whether you believe it or not. God says it's wrong. Gambling, because you cannot win lest someone else lose. And most of the time on lottery, the one that loses is a little kids that needs bread and milk. You need to help those people that needs help in our country. We need to help them. That is our responsibility as a nation. That's our responsibility as Christians. Whether it be food stamps, whether it be welfare, whether it be any assistance that is, we need to give help wherever help is needed. And there's nothing wrong with it. But anyone accepts this when they don't need it is wrong. And I don't know who they are. It's not my place to judge and find out who they are. But I'm just telling you that it's wrong. And then he says, you know, there's this moral corruption, spiritual corruption. And then you see the reign of the Savior. And then he turns it into something different. Chapter 3. Oh, Habakkuk begins to smile because you see he begins to understand that he don't live by circumstance, but he lives by praise of God. Praise God, God's going to take care of us. I could go on now for several hours. I wish I could. I could go on, but you see, in our country, but you see what, we can still praise God no matter what's going on in our country. No matter how bad it's getting. No matter how bad it's going to get. We can be praising God as a child of God because we know God's still on the throne and he's always going to take care of us. He's always going to take care of us. And he's going to always lift us up. You see, we need to remember God's glory. And we need to just remember God's goodness and rejoice in God's goodness and rely on God's grace. And then the last verse of Scripture, and I know that I won't have time to go very far, but last verse of Scripture in this book, chapter 3 and verse 19. And it says, "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinder's feet. And I will make me to walk upon my high places to the chief singer of my string instruments." He says, to the chief singer. He says, now they're going to be a healing in God's land. You know, God may permit all this to happen to us so they might be a healing upon our nation. In Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 4, it says, the glory of the Lord, after God has moved back into this nation, brought his glory back to this nation, then it says there in Isaiah 62 and 4, glory of the Lord shines on the land of Israel. Thou shalt no more be determined forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be determined desolate. Thy land shall be called Beulah. Beulah, for the Lord is delight. Squire Parson sings that song, Beulah Land, because God has moved back in upon the land. Habakkuk was looking for this great Beulah Land. Now, for just a moment, we got Squire Dixon is going to sing this song for us. Brother Marshall, would you come this time? Habakkuk said, I'm going to tell you today that we can still praise. I'm going to tell you, a knot swells up in my throat when we have these songs, patriotic songs, in old Beulah land. He said, this land's going to be called Beulah. And they begin to praise the Lord. Things are bad in our country. And I'm going to tell you, they look like they're going to get worse. But I'm telling you today that you can praise God no matter what happens in our country. He's going to take care of us. And I want you to listen to Squire Dixon.